1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Title of the message today, There Is Good News. You believe that, right? Did you know it? You're not going to get it on TV. But there is good news. And I want to share that good news with you today. My goodness, isn't it a privilege that God has given us His Word to open up so that we may hear from Him today. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Continuing our letter to Thessalonians. Verse 6 says, But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God. Night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now may the God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray now for your guidance and your word. Open our minds and our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. Give us understanding and apply your word to each one that is present. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we saw the Apostle Paul's concern for the church at Thessalonica. He was afraid that in their harsh persecution and tribulations that somewhere along the way that they would fold under persecution and their faith would suffer. Therefore, because of that concern, the Apostle Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica to find out, how are you guys doing? Okay? And so Timothy has traveled to Thessalonica. He's now returned. And he tells Paul, man, I've got good news. There's good news concerning the faith of those saints from Thessalonica. It was a flood of relief. I want you to understand how Paul... Have you ever worried? Yeah. Have you ever worried about your kids? Yeah, now you know what I'm talking about, right? You see, these were Paul's kids in the faith, right? And so as Paul receives this word, his soul is flooded with relief. But Timothy comes back to Paul and he says, Paul, these guys are amazing. They're under harsh persecution, but their faith is growing stronger. They're being tried on every side, but their trust in God, their love for God, their love for one another is growing stronger. See, Thessalonica was a spiritually exciting place. It was a place that even Satan himself and all that he could throw at the saints there could not dampen their love and their fire that they had for the Lord. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. How about you? Well, to be honest with you, as I read this, I thought, man, this is victory. This is victory. Victory has been a very exciting place in the last 2 years. It's been an exciting place for longer than that. But you know, I've seen God move in the last 2 years more than I've ever seen Him move anywhere. God's blessing on every hand. I look at the building that was just finished, or we're kind of finished, close to finished. Aren't we, Brother Greg? We're kind of close to finished. We've got some outside work to do, things like that, but that's all well. But as we went through that process, I watched as the saints of victory gave faithfully to that ministry. But I want to say, you filled my heart with joy as I watched the offerings grow and so that we're enabled to build that new facility. And that new facility is great. Oh, come on.
Amen.
Maybe I'm just excited because I've got an office for the first time in 12 months, you know? And I get to be by the other church staff every day. I don't know. But to watch how Victory responded to that building program has been such a blessing to me as the pastor. It has been a shot in the arm. And it's not just building. Four Sundays ago, roughly, I challenged you. I said, okay, it's time to go to Sunday school. I asked for you to commit 8 weeks, you know, come to Sunday school. Just do it for 8 weeks. And after that, we'll talk some more, right? You know what? Last week, we set an attendance record in Sunday school. 314. That is awesome. You see, before that, we were stuck up until a month or so ago. We'd been stuck at the 250s forever. And part of it was because we didn't have a place to put them. I get that. But now it's such a joy to see our Sunday school growing. It's such a joy to see our worship growing. Our worship service, every Sunday I'm seeing new faces and quite honestly, you look around this service this morning. Isn't today the weekend before spring break? No? It's next week? Okay. I was going to say, boy, y'all done pretty good if you're on spring break coming today. But I look around and I see Sunday morning growing. I see Sunday evening growing. I see Wednesday night growing. And everywhere God is moving. And I want you to see it, okay? I want you to just stop and look at what God's doing. But I also want you to see that there's growth going on that you can't see. And that's the really exciting part. Matter of fact, most, you know, probably most have no idea. But I want to tell you, in the last 2 years, I've watched many of the saints of God in this church be tested to the very limit. I've seen some people go through some tough times, you know. As their pastor, they've shared with me, we've counseled, we've prayed together, and we've cried together. And you know, most of you and many of you may not have any idea of the battles that's been fought at Victory in the last 2 years. And I'm not talking about me against Brother Michael or me against the deacon. I'm talking about the spiritual battles that are going on in the lives of the saints of Victory. I've watched as marriages have been attacked. But I've been encouraged. And you know why? Because I've also seen those same marriages that had been attacked, I've seen them restored. I've seen husbands and wives say, no, I know that God does not want my marriage to be destroyed, and I refuse to give up and to give in. Glory to God, there are still saints saying, I still want to be what God expects me to be. That's encouraging to me as a pastor. I've seen people go through financial hardship. And that's never easy. When you don't know where tomorrow's, you know, bills are going to be paid or even how next week's bills are going to be paid. That's so difficult. But I've watched these same saints remain faithful to God even when they didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow. That's encouraging as a pastor. I've watched families be put on the brink of destruction, or I've watched families and their kids do battle, you know, and raising kids, and it's a battle raising kids today. But I've watched these families as they've fought the battle of raising kids and looked at their kids and refused to give up and quit loving and keep being parents. I've watched parents who've decided, I'm going to be your parent. I don't care if you like it or not. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've watched some fight health issues and it just seems like bad news after bad news. Bad news after bad news. The cancer's back. The chemo, we've got to do more. The radiation, we have to do more. And I've watched these same saints stand strong in the faith. Even in the midst of some very trying health issues. I've watched as families have been shaken by loss. But I've watched these same families lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, Brother Doug, this is not very good news that you've just shared. Oh yes, it is. Because these families that I have seen go through this stuff, I've also seen a God who has been faithful in every instance. I've seen a God who has refused to leave or forsake them. I've seen a God who stood by them all the way. And I've seen those same saints refuse to give up their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, that's why I'm here as a pastor. That is good news for me. Glory to God, the anchor still holds. Glory to God, there is still good news. You may be still going through those same battles. John 16:33 says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And because He wins, we too shall win. Oh, beloved, there is good news. Struggling today, hang on. Hang in there. Don't give up. God will see you through. But I want you to know, for those of you who are fighting the battles, just what a blessing that has been, not only to myself, but to others that are watching you. Keep it up. Keep it up. Then we look at Paul's comfort. Paul said in verse 7, he said, "Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith." Isn't it good news? Isn't it good news when you hear somebody's overcoming the trials of the devil? I mean, isn't it encouraging to watch people win? Paul, who had been worried about these saints, could not have received better news. And I find it interesting, you know, he says, "In all our affliction and distress, we were comforted." And he wasn't comforted because he was relieved from his affliction and distress. He was comforted because he heard about the good news of the saints at Thessalonica. Paul was enduring harsh persecution at this time. How was that so good? How did that be, was such a blessing to Paul? Well, Paul had discovered a life-changing secret. And I'm going to share that life-changing secret with y'all today. It's not about me. It's not about me. That he did not say, Paul didn't say, "I'm glad that y'all are doing good, but man, I've got it so bad." Paul said, "Man, now that y'all..." As a matter of fact, in verse 8 he said, "For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." He said, "Because you're doing well, I'm going to be okay." You see the heart he had for these people? Because he knew it was not about him and his circumstances. The most freeing spiritual thing that you can do... Are you ready? Here's the secret. Take your eyes off of you. You know what we need to stop doing? We need to stop saying, "How are you doing today?" Yeah? Because you know what that... And I know we've done that for so long, but... And I do the same thing. "How are you today? How are you today?" It's a habit. But you know what? As long as I look at me, I don't see what God's doing around me. As long as I consider that, man, I lost an hour's sleep last night. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I'm grumpy. I'm whatever, you know. But as long as I'm looking at me, I won't see the hand of God. When Paul heard the news, man, God is doing great things in Thessalonica, he was like, "Wonderful. I'll be okay now." Take your eyes off of you. And rejoice in the mighty hand of God. Because if you come to church today and all you see is your trouble, you'll miss the mighty hand of God. And beloved, God is here. And He wants to work a work among us today. Quit looking at you. Quit looking at what's wrong. Start looking at what's right. Well, brother, and there are people inevitably who will say, well, Brother Doug, there's just not much right. Look around. Look around. You had the freedom to come to church today. Everybody doesn't have that freedom. You had the health to come to church today. Everybody doesn't have that health. And we can go on and on and on. But look around and see the hand of God. No, that's what Paul was doing. We said, I'm comforted by your faith. He saw what God was doing in their life. Then we go on. The opportunity that Paul saw for their faith. I love this part. Paul knew that they were not all they could be at this point. In verse 10, Paul said, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith, or complete that which is lacking in your faith. Wait a minute. Timothy just said they're doing great. What does Paul mean? What is lacking? It means they just weren't there yet. They had a lot of opportunity to grow. And I love verse 12. He said, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Paul knew that they weren't there yet. And so when he heard that good news, his desire was, man, I want to go over there so I can help them mature even farther in their faith. In verse 12, those words increase and abound are words that literally mean to be wealthy or have more than enough or to superabound. If you were to use those words speaking about finances, you would call somebody that was abounding in wealth and increasing in wealth, somebody who's filthy rich. And that's what Paul said. He's saying, I'm just praying that y'all be filthy rich, but not in money. He said, I pray that y'all just be saturated rich in love to one another and to all. Now, I want to point out something to you here. Okay? He's saying you can love better. That's the point. And he also gives us how to love better. All right? In verse 12, he says, abound in love to one another. That word to is a little bitty preposition, a little bitty two-letter word that we'll skip right over and not pay attention to if we're not careful. But that word to, and some translations say for, but for is not a good translation there. That word to, that little preposition means towards something. All right? If you say love for, well, love for is just kind of an emotion. But love to someone is a guided direction. All right? What am I saying? Paul's saying, I want you to increase and abound in love to one another. If I'm going to, I really, really love you. But how do you know that I really, really love you? You can't see inside my heart. You can't tell what's going on inside me. The way that you know that I really, really love you is when I point that love at you. You see, Paul is painting a picture here. He's saying, take aim. I want you to abound in love to one another. That means I've got to love you and point that love. Love's an action word, not just a feeling. If it's a feeling, it's shallow. But when we choose to love and then we aim, we take aim. All right? And I aim that love at you. And you aim that love at me. And you're doing things that reflect that love. Not just saying that you love. See, that's where Paul's saying, you can grow better. Listen, folks, I appreciate where Victory is right now. And this message, again, it's you have blessed my heart. But I want to tell you, we're not there yet. Okay? We can love better. We can love one another better as we aim, or we take aim. Take aim and love. Point our love. Let me ask you, have you loved somebody this week? Well, yes, Brother Doug, no, have you loved? Have you aimed? You pointed that love and shot that love and hit your target? If you hadn't, okay, you should. You should. We can do better in loving to one another and loving all. He said in the last part of verse 12, and loving all. Love to all. Those outside. How many outside did you aim, outside this church, did you aim at? Make target of? And direct your love toward outside this church. I bet we can all do better. You know, you hear good stories all the time about somebody stepping up and paying for somebody's groceries, or somebody going through the drive-thru and somebody in front of them paid for their lunch. And, you know, you just hear all that. Don't those stories make you feel good? Don't they? You know what make you feel better? Is if you're part of that story. Where you're aiming your love to people and you're doing things to show them the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, folks. God has given us good news at Victory. It's such a comfort to be serving God with you. It's an opportunity in knowing that we can't back up and we can't give in. Because there's too much opportunity all around for us to love those inside the church as well as outside the church. But here's the why. Here's why these things are important. In verse 13, he said, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That word establish is an important word. That word establish, it means to settle something or to set something up so it cannot be moved. Chew on that just a minute. What's God doing at Victory? All right? It's not just about building programs. It's not just about youth programs and college ministries and everything, seniors ministries that goes on at Victory. God is doing something. He is establishing a church. Establishing a church that will not be moved. You know my desire for Victory. And I think we're on the this path. My desire for Victory Baptist Church is that when God is through with me at Victory, and I have no, okay, let me interpret that. I'm where I'm supposed to be, okay, doing what I'm supposed to do. I have no intent and no aspirations of going anywhere else. But when God is through with me at Victory, if it's a year from now, or if it's 30 years from now, that when God is through with me at Victory, that there will be a church built not around its pastor, but around the Lord Jesus Christ that will stand every tribulation and trial that Satan throws at it and still be healthy. My goal for Victory is that long after I have departed this life, that if the Lord does not come back, that Victory will be a beacon to the community of Russellville of faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when someone asks in this community, where can I go to hear good Bible preaching and teaching, everybody in Russellville say, well, you need to go to Victory. That's my prayer for what we're doing. Oh, listen, beloved, I'm more confident, I'm more encouraged about this church than ever before. But you have to understand, we're not there yet. There's a lot of work to be done for God to establish a church that'll stand the test of time. And the reality is, God is working through you and I to do it. Okay? You may be here today, and the Lord is leading you to become a part of the Victory family. I want to share with you for just a moment. Okay? Everybody needs a church home. The Bible says, to Him be glory through the church, throughout all ages, world without end. Okay? Everybody needs a church home. First thing you need to be sure, that this is where God wants you. Okay? Because if God doesn't want you here, we don't want you here. We love for you to visit and we love your presence, but we want you to be where God wants you to be. But if you have that assurance, it's time to get on board with what God's doing at Victory. Come, and we'll receive you however we can scripturally receive you. Maybe you're here today and you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Listen, that's your first step of obedience. That's your first step of obedience. That's your public declaration before the world that you belong to Jesus Christ. Now, if that's your first step of obedience, how do you expect God to build on top of that when you haven't taken the first step of obedience? Okay? If you need to be baptized, if you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, this invitation is for you. Will you come and submit for baptism? Maybe you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you, I'll never look you in the eye and tell you being a child of God is easy. Okay? There are people say that think, oh, it's all roses and it's not. But I'll tell you this, I'd rather go through this life with Jesus than go through this life without Him. Okay? Are you a child of God? Jesus came to this earth. He gave His life upon Calvary for your sins so that you could have eternal life. Have you received His salvation that He offers as a free gift to all? If not, I'd invite you to come. Whatever your spiritual need is, maybe you're fighting the battles that I talked about. You need to come to this altar. Whatever that need is, all right? I ask you to do one thing. Listen to Jesus as He speaks through His Spirit and respond. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of looking into Your Word. We thank You for the privilege of being a part of Your church. We thank You, Lord, for the joy that it is to be Your children. And now, Lord, in this invitation, I pray that You will move freely among us. Give us willing hearts. Give us, Lord, a willing spirit to respond to Your leading. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.